Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good afternoon. Happy New Year. And also with you, right? Something like that. Church joke starting off 2026, right? Hello to everybody online. It is great that you are joining with us as well, and we're praying for you and can't wait for you to be with us in person. Well, it is a joy. Hope you had a great Christmas, and you're enjoying the winter wonderland that we have here in January. And this is our anointing service, and we do these every year. It's a chance to look ahead to the new year and the tasks and callings that the Lord has for us. And what better way to begin 2026 than to be anointed and prayed for as a reminder that Jesus is profoundly with you and that you have assignments from him for the year ahead. And that's true for all of us, no matter how you feel about yourself today, whether you're full of vision and you are ready to go for 2026, or maybe you're unsure that God even remembers your name, let alone has any assignments for you this year. Even if you're not currently following Jesus, I believe there is purpose and revelation and vision and power here for you, because Jesus, whether you realize it or not, is waiting on the threshold of your life in 2026, and he's inviting you to call upon him, to put your faith and trust in him, and to follow him. And so no matter where we are at with things of faith today or how we're feeling today, I believe that Jesus, the crucified and risen one, stands before all of us today with joy and provision for us for our tasks. And he's saying to us, go into the new year, go into your assignments, go into the year ahead in my strength and in my power with my Holy Spirit within you and upon you. He's promising and promises to be with us till the end of the age. So it's really exciting. And so we're going to be anointing and praying for one another in just a moment. And it will be one of those times we get to do messy church and stuff like that, which is exciting. But before we do that, like, what are we actually doing here? What is anointing? Well, in the biblical sense, to anoint someone or something is to literally pour or smear oil on them, an oil infused with fragrant plants and rare spices. That's found all over the Bible. So you can see anointing of places and anointing of people all over the Bible. You can even find a recipe for anointing oil in Exodus chapter 30. If you want to go home later and whip some up, you can try and do that. There's some ingredients in there that are pretty exotic, so You might run into some difficulties there, but you could try. Oil and water represent the Spirit of God in the Scriptures. They represent his power and his presence being upon people and upon places. The first instance of anointing in the Bible is when Jacob, one of the patriarchs, anoints a place. That's in Genesis chapter 28. Many of you will know this story and remember this story. Jacob has a dream. He's powerfully visited by God's presence in this dream, and he anoints a stone there, and he renames this place Bethel, or House of God. And in this dream, God speaks to him about his assignment and God being personally with him. And so there's something about anointing and anointing oil and this practice that involves assignments and a response to an assignment, that God is with us, someone has been set apart for a task, and that person is then responding and is anointed for it. In the Old Testament, you have priests and prophets and kings were anointed with oil when they would begin their service to God. And that, again, it marked them out for a specific task. For example, in Exodus 28, you have Aaron and his sons anointed as priests for the people. Throughout the Scriptures, again, people are anointed with oil to mark them out and affirm God's calling on them for what he is asking them to do. Jesus himself was anointed twice. First by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and then again by the woman who breaks the alabaster jar of precious perfume right before his crucifixion and anoints him. Jesus' name refers to anointing. So Jesus Christ, Christ isn't his surname, Christ is a title. Christ is a Greek word that means anointed one. And it is also linked to the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. So Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the Messiah is what Jesus Christ means. So it's this title that he has. So he had an assignment. He was anointed for an assignment, and he fulfilled his assignment. He was anointed as the Messiah and our rescuer and our deliverer, and he fulfills his assignment on the cross and then through his resurrection. So anointing, again, is to mark people with the presence and power of God for special tasks and assignments. And we as well, we who are followers of Jesus, we've taken that step of response and faith to believe and call upon Jesus for forgiveness of our sins and to step into his eternal life now and follow him. We're called Christians, right? And just as Jesus Christ means Jesus the Anointed One and Christ or Christos means Anointed One, well, Christian is like little anointed ones. And that's what we are. And we're little Christs. We're little anointed ones. Because of our faith in Jesus, we're called to do the things that he did. And we have assignments and we have tasks. And we're remembering that today. We're stepping into some new ones or we're reviving our belief and our calling for some old ones. And we believe that God has assignments for us this year. He's gifted us uniquely with great care and with purpose. And as we, as Christians, little anointed ones, stand before a world of chaos and darkness, we are anointed and sent to bring good news, the good news of Jesus, to bring divine solutions that he provides for us out of his abundance, and to bring the light and life of Jesus wherever we go. That's what anointing is, and that's one of the reasons why we do it. Here's some reasons why it can help you. Here's how this can help you. Well, the first reason, it has to do with humility and surrender. Humility and surrender are the way of Jesus. If you read through the Gospels, this is how Jesus moved through the world. He moved through the world in humility and surrender and obedience to the Father. And we know throughout the Scriptures that God's power and attention are upon the humble, those who surrender to him. His hand is upon them. His favor is upon them. His power is upon them. And when we listen to the Lord's invitation to us, the assignments that he has for us, we submit to that and we say, yes, Lord, that is a humble and surrendered posture. And we are emulating, we are walking in the way of Jesus as we walk in humility and surrender. So just as the Father's care was upon the Son, the Father's care and attention is upon us as we emulate the way of Jesus and as we move through the world and we approach our assignments and we approach the year ahead with humility and surrender, saying, Lord, have your way. I want to do the things that you have for me. Do your work in me and do your work through me. I need your presence and power because I can't do it on my own. We're walking in the way of Jesus. And that's really good. And that will immensely help your life. Another reason why this is helpful to you has to do with intentionality. Being anointed today and taking that like public step where you'll walk forward and you'll say what you want to be anointed for to somebody and they will pray for you, that helps you actually do real things in the real world for a real God who loves you very much. Because it means you're in being intentional. You're getting ready to allocate resource and time to what you believe Jesus is asking of you. And that means saying a big yes to those things, and then by definition saying some no to some other things that might take your focus or take resources away from that. Even some things that would be very, very good, you're saying no. I'm responding to the calling of the Lord in this season, in this year of my life, and I'm going to say a big yes to that, which might mean some no's to some other things. And when we make commitments, when we're asking for anointing and for some things, we aren't just having like a nice service. It's something that's joyfully serious or seriously joyful. And I've unearthed this scripture here that is I've been puzzling over for a long time, and I think it speaks into it. It's Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. It's back to Jacob again, and it's a long time since he anointed that place called Bethel. He's now in the house of Laban, and he has wives, and he has family, and he has flocks and herds, and he wants to leave Laban's house, and he's having this big conversation, and he's talking to some people, and he tells them he just had a dream from God. And in this dream, God remembers his anointing. And God said to him, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. God, many years later, remembers his vow. And he remembers the time of anointing. And God remembered that he promised that he would serve him. And God is now holding him to it. He remembers. And when we do these things, and when we come forward and ask for anointing, because we believe the Lord has a task and an assignment for us this year, we're not just like cosplaying church or something like that, or doing like make-believe pretend. We're actually doing something powerful that I believe the Lord will remember. And we should do these things to the best of our ability and take them really, really seriously. We should joyfully take them seriously, believing that God has presence and power for us. Because these moments are catalytic. We're not just playing. There will be real Holy Spirit power from God for you to ignite something in you, to make a way for you, to empower you to do something that he has for you to do, to see him break in at different moments. So we should expect that. We should be in faith for that. We should be in faith that over time, this year, that God will do in our lives and through our lives what looks like might be impossible, but we have enough faith and courage to boldly step forward and think, I believe God is asking me to do this. If you're going to be anointed for something specific today, I would encourage you to think about adding in a layer of accountability. Adding in a layer of accountability. In other words, tell somebody. Tell somebody in your life and give them permission to ask you about it. In other words, to hold you account. And we tend to not like accountability, right? We tend to like think it's a good idea in general, but when we've empowered somebody to hold us account and then they do, we kind of chafe at that, don't we? And we think, oh gosh, like lighten up. Like I didn't really mean that, right? You know? But actually, like someone with the courage to lovingly hold you account, to say, hey, what about that thing you said you would do? That person you said you were becoming? What about that? That is actually a bold and loving, incredibly loving. It's one of the most loving things someone can do for you. It's not loving if you're mean and you do it. But it's incredibly loving if you're kind, but joyfully serious, and hold somebody to account. And so I would encourage you to tell somebody. I have some relationships in my life where I know people are going to ask me about what I have said is important to me and what I believe God has asked me to do. And I know those people have the courage and the kindness to ask me about it and to pray for me. Many of you know I'll be heading off on a sabbatical tomorrow. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But I'm going to be visiting some people who are close friends who will lovingly hold me account. And I know as I go and visit different places and see them, they are going to ask me, have I been faithful to the things that I said were important? Have I been faithful to the things, the calling of God that has been on my life for a long time? Some of them will have known me since I was like 19. And they will ask me. And accountability is really, really powerful. So I would just say, give someone permission today to ask you about what you said God had for you this year. And tell them, don't let me off the hook. And use them as a way, use their kindness and their love for you as like an extra rocket booster. They'll pray for you. They'll bless you, they'll talk to you about it, and it will put courage and steel in your spine. All right, you might be sitting here and wondering, well, what if I didn't do what I was anointed for last year? I kind of feel really guilty about that right now. And maybe you're sitting here and like the year of 2025, it just got away from you. Maybe hard things happened or unexpected things got in the way. Maybe you were anointed for some things this time last year that you just didn't end up doing. And maybe you feel guilty or exhausted or disappointed or pushed down by the challenges that you faced, and you feel unable to hope and trust that God still might want to do something in and through you. Maybe you underestimated what it was going to take to do those things and the opposition that would come when you tried to do those things and it just knocked you off your feet. Maybe time was stolen from you through illness or grief or unforeseen things. Well, what if the Lord's timing is actually for now? What if it's a new day, a new season, a new year, and 2026 is the time for these things? I would say to you, take courage. Maybe now is the time. And what if we knew what he was asking of us, and we just simply, if we were completely honest, we just didn't do it. We just didn't do it. Well, if that's where you're at, I would again say to you, take courage. I think it's a moment to admit before the Lord Jesus that we didn't do what he asked us to do, and we just need to be honest about that, and we need to receive his grace. We need to receive his grace where it hasn't been our fault that we didn't do it, and we need to receive his forgiveness when, do you know what? We just failed. We just didn't do it. And we need to let his mercy drive away guilt and drive away shame and to move us from disappointment and perceived failure to resilient, joyous faith, to take action now, and that there's mercy, grace, and love now, and that we can rise up and do the things he has asked us to do. I would encourage you to do that. St. Augustine is a very important person in the history of the Western world and the history of Christianity. And he is always worth consulting on important matters. And he has this quote that I have been working over in my soul for a good few months now, and it's become very important to me. And if you hear nothing else from this talk, hear this. Hear what Augustine has to say as you survey your life. If you feel like you've failed, if you feel like you've let Jesus and other people down, if you feel like you're worried about your future, if you don't even know how to feel in your present, let Augustine's words sink into your soul. He would say to you today, entrust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, the future to his providence. And as you think about last year and your story in the past, and as you think about how you feel now, and as you think about 2026 stretching in the future, let what did or didn't happen in 2025 rest in the mercy of God, that he has love and care and forgiveness for you if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus. And let how you feel now just be assured that you can rest in the profound, deep love of God for you in Jesus Christ. That is so deep and wide, it cannot be measured, and we cannot even understand its profound implications for us. And if you're worried about your future, if you think about the future, like, how am I going to do what he has for me? How am I even going to do this afternoon? Do I even have enough resources? Do I have enough finance, energy, health, or whatever? Entrust that to his providence, to his care, that he will be with you in the future. So if you did not do what you were anointed for last year, receive his mercy, receive his love, and receive the catalytic, empowering, cleansing, healing, and resourcing of his Holy Spirit. And do that in faith.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.